Aloha, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Welcome to The Body Show. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but none of what we discuss replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. March is National Athletic Training Month. Do you know the safest way to exercise? How about whenever you see those disclaimers that say, before you start a new exercise routine, talk to your doctor to make sure it's safe? Well, there are reasons why most exercise equipment says that or most training programs say that. And it's in order to figure out how to stay safe and prevent injuries when you do your exercise. Now, today we are lucky enough to have one of the top athletic trainers in the state of Hawaii, Ross Oshiro. He was inducted into the National Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Fame and has trained and has served as a mentor to the vast majority of existing certified athletic trainers in the state, while he was also the head athletic trainer for the Department of Education. He is the founder of the Hawaii Concussion Education and Training Program and is involved in concussion and athletic training research. He's also received numerous awards and accolades for his service to Hawaii's athletes and also to the athletic training profession. Welcome to The Body Show, Ross.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, for those people who are not athletes, like, oh, maybe myself, you know, I think about people doing significant athletic training programs. And I think about, you know, high school athletes or people who are really good at doing a lot of different athletic sports and events. But training actually is something that can be done for everyone. Is that right?
Yeah, training can be done for anybody. Like for athletic trainers, we don't just treat athletes. We can treat active individuals from all the way from 5 years old all the way to in their 70s and 80s. So there's a very vast array of athletes that we see or active people.
So who do you think needs an athletic trainer?
Well, first of all, an athletic trainer is not a personal trainer. An athletic trainer, they're certified by a national organization, a National Athletic Trainers Association. Primarily, you see them at secondary school games, at practices, in college games, professional games. But there are those like myself that work in non-traditional settings like hospitals, physical therapy clinics. And basically, we help people learn how to do exercises properly. We do their rehab for them. So there's a lot of different things that we do. Wear a lot of different hats.
So wearing one of those hats, you mentioned that you teach people how to exercise safely. What are some of the most common mistakes that people may make when they are doing some type of activity that they think is helping them, but in fact might not be so much?
Probably the biggest mistake they see is they pick up the magazine and they see all the muscles, all the cut abs, and they want to be like that person.
Okay, I've given up on that a long time ago, Ross. But okay, so they see that and they say, I want that.
Right. And it's not just the physical exercise. A big portion of it is diet as well. And they see that and they go to the gym and they get on a machine and they lift the weights from the machine. And it's not necessarily the machine that's working their muscles the way it should, because the machine itself isolates only one particular joint or one particular muscle group. And probably most athletes do multiple things. They're multi-joint. They do multiple things. So they're functional people. So a lot of their activity should be hitting multiple joints at one time. So a lot of them do more Olympic-type weightlifting, and that gives them more power, more speed, and that's what most athletes want.
So you're talking about people who look at the magazine and say, I can do that. Then they go to the gym and they see the little picture of the guy and how you're supposed to do it and go, yep, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And in fact, they might not be doing the right thing at all.
Right.
I say that from personal experience.
Yeah, depending on what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, just looking at the machine and looking at, okay, I want to do my triceps, I'll get on this machine. They may not be getting the best benefit, especially if they're doing multiple machines. Doing it in the proper order is probably just as important.
Really? So there's, okay, so I'm going to learn a lot here. So there's an order. So like you can't just go on the machine that nobody's sitting on because it's free. You're supposed to go ahead and you're supposed to do all the different machines in a certain order.
Well, it's best to do larger group muscles, multiple joints first, and then down to isolated joints. So like a bench press and then doing a bicep or a tricep, or doing a pull-up and then doing biceps.
feel like I've just learned the reason why nothing ever seemed to work for me. Okay, so when you talk about training athletes, one of the things that can come up would be ways that they can continue to be athletic throughout their lifespan and do so safely. I'm always humbled. Every year we have the Ironman Championship here, and I know people who do it, and I'm just in awe of their physical abilities, because a lot of the Ironman athletes, we're not talking about 20-year-olds. Right. We're talking about people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, some even in their 60s, and they're still at this peak level of performance, which is incredible. What makes someone able to do that throughout their lifetime?
Well, a lot of it is dedication to their particular sport, the love for their sport.
And so they have to love to exercise. Right. Okay, I'm out on question number one. What else do they have to do?
The other thing nowadays is time. Do they have
to have time to exercise? Yeah. Okay, I'm 0 for 2, Ross. You got to help me here. Is there a third?
Then having the proper instruction on what to do. I think for somebody that hasn't exercised before, getting somebody to help them develop an exercise program for them is key, because most people, they get started the brand new year, they go to the gym, and they get burnt out the first week because they try to do too much. When they're not in shape, they get hurt more than likely, or they get their muscles are too sore.
So that's why, you know, everybody gets all excited in January, and by February and March, we see that there's extra parking places at the gym because not so many people are going.
Right, right.
So what about the non-athletes? What can, you know, I know you deal with a lot of the supreme athletes, and you're working with, you know, people who are becoming athletic either in school or as they get older. For those people who just are the weekend warriors, do they have a tendency to get injured more than they should?
Yeah, I think so, because the mind is still strong, but the body is not willing all the time.
Understood. Our mind thinks we're 20. Our body says, we've had more birthdays than that.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So it's important that they not only do their golf or surf on the weekend, they do something during the week just to keep their bodies, the range of motion still intact.
But it doesn't have to be the same thing.
Yeah, they can do something else. They can walk, they can jog, ride a bike, stand-up paddle versus paddling, regular canoe paddling.
Sure, because I think that element number two, time.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about a lot of people who are working during the day, they come home, it might be getting darker, they might have a water sport that requires that it still be light outside.
Yeah.
So they may not have that flexibility during the week, but they do on the weekends. So is that sort of an element of what you would consider like almost like cross training?
Exactly, yeah. So do multiple things. That helps their body as well. There works different muscle groups that aren't worked doing their primary sport.
And when you work with elite athletes, they also do an element of cross-training as well.
Yeah, they don't do their same sport throughout the year. They take breaks. They do different things to recover. Recovery is probably just as important as the actual exercise.
So what are the elements of recovery that we need to be concerned about?
One is diet, hydration. The other thing is getting the muscles to lengthen back out if they've had a tough season. Getting the range of motion back, getting the mobility back in multiple joints.
So when you talk about taking a break, you mean that they're not necessarily, if they're an elite, let's just say, you know, football player, they're not necessarily going to just play football all year, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't spend their summer doing swimming or spend some other time doing running or track or some other type of activity, even if they're in the gym. It's just stopping the primary activity to give those muscles a break.
Right, exactly. So if they're a football player during their off season, they may play golf, they may play basketball, racquetball, just another activity, but just in using different joints or different muscle groups. Like a baseball pitcher, all they do is throw, if they're right-handed, all they do is throw right-handed. They need to do something on the left side to get the balance back in their body to reduce the chance of getting hurt.
Sure, they have to get that balance. Yeah. And if you're not a lefty, that's got to be hard.
Yeah. So they got to do different things. So that can be in the gym doing different rotations with the left side.
All right. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with Ross Oshiro. He is a certified athletic trainer and also has trained a lot of the current certified trainers in the state. But today we're talking about how can you start on an exercise routine, keep yourself safe, and how some of the same principles that work with elite athletes can work for all of us as well. When we come back, we'll talk some more about some of the concerns about injuries, including concussions, and how that can affect how people will function in their job and in their life after it happens. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk show programming. Mahalo to contributors Kaiser Permanente and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with a wonderful educational man, Ross Oshiro, who's telling me how pretty much everything I ever did at the gym was kind of wrong and may just inspire me to want to pick up an athletic sport and get better at it, because that's one of the things, Ross, that you do exclusively, extensively, and have helped a lot of the certified trainers in the state. Now, you mentioned at the top of the show, a certified athletic trainer is different than a personal trainer. Remind me why and how.
Well, first of all, an athletic trainer, if they were to start off becoming an athletic trainer now, they would need a master's degree. After the master's degree, they take a national board exam to become a certified athletic trainer. And they're primarily in schools, so secondary schools, colleges. They're also in professional teams, professional sports. You get the gamut of football all the way to golf. And then there are some in the clinics and in hospitals. And they work alongside physicians. They take direct orders from physicians to treat athletes, to rehabilitate athletes. And then also education is a big part. And some of that is done with our concussions or injuries like we're talking today.
So concussions, that's one of those topics that kind of comes up quite frequently these days. You know, there was that huge issue with the NFL and whether or not concussions are something that can happen with repetitive head injuries and if that leads to further neurologic decline. And there have been a lot of research studies that have suggested, yes, it does. There's a huge settlement, although I don't think any fault was admitted. There was looking at concussions as a risk. What is a concussion? And do you have to black out to have one?
To black out, that's a pretty big misconception. Only about 10% of all concussions, actually, an athlete or anybody blacks out, loses consciousness. The easy definition for a concussion is the shaking of the brain, and the brain is like jello within in a shell, and it's kind of moving around in that shell. And it's
kind of like an egg yolk.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Banging back and forth onto the shell, and that's how the concussions occur, from banging one side of the skull and hitting the other side.
And it doesn't have to show up on a scan. In fact, concussions usually don't show up on scans.
Yeah, they usually don't show up on X-rays, MRIs, CTs right away.
Because there's no real, and in some cases, this is a functional episode. There may be an anatomic element. You know, I mean, I would imagine you could look at the brain and potentially see some darkening or some changes in color from normal non-concussed neurons to those that might have been in areas where they have been frequently concussed. But otherwise, you know, the type of things we can look at on MRIs and CT scans and those sorts of scans, they don't show this particular injury. So when people say, oh, you had a concussion, did you get a scan of your brain? It may or may not have been necessary.
Right. The concussion is at the cellular level, so the cells become disrupted, and there's an influx of different chemicals that's happening within the brain. And a lot of times it shows up in behaviors or movement patterns or in the speech.
So if you were working with a high school team and you were, let's just say, out there with, we'll pick a sport, football, soccer, whatever you'd like, how would you know that an athlete had a concussion out there in the field?
Probably the easiest thing to see is if an athlete tries to get back up and they fall back down. They're disoriented. They may go to the wrong huddle. They may go to the wrong sideline. That's the easy one. That's the easy one that most people can see. The parents can see on the sideline. It's the one that nobody sees, and the kid tries to shake it off and get back into the game.
So what would be those subtle signs? And I think a lot of times for a lot of, you know, I mean, maybe I'm overgeneralizing, but in high school, a lot of people feel sort of invincible. And if you're an athlete and you're playing on a team, and this is really important, because if you do well in high school, you might be able to go to college on a scholarship. And if you do well in college, you could make it to the pros. So there's a lot of stress and pressure that I don't think we realize are on some of these high school athletes to do well. So what would be some of the subtle signs if you were the individual who just had this injury? What should you look out for? Granted, you may or may not admit it's happening, but what would be the signs for the person who did just experience the concussion?
A lot of times it's a headache, dizziness. They may become drowsy. They maybe not remember what just happened, how they got injured, how they got the hit. Their emotions may change right away or maybe later on. But it's important that they report the injury to their coach, to their athletic trainer on the sideline. And the athletic trainer can do an evaluation of the athlete.
And how would you evaluate them?
There's a series of questions that we ask. We ask them about the current situation, day, time. We give them some numbers to repeat to us, words to repeat to us. And then we do a balance assessment on them. We look at their eyes. What we do now is called a vestibular ocular motor screening on them. And then we would probably give them a neurocognitive test, which is a computerized test.
It's almost, well, probably right there on the sidelines?
No, we would take them
in. Oh, you do that
in,
later. Yeah. I was going to say, a lot of the questions you talked about, you know, name, date, what's going on, the situation around them, sounds similar to what we do in a medical office when we're trying to find out if somebody has some memory loss. You know, we ask them, who's the president? Here are some things. Remember these three things in 5 minutes. Spell this word. Spell it backwards. All this kind of stuff. So it sounds like higher level brain function that someone should be able to do, even if they've just had a head injury. And if they can't do these functions, then they should not participate in the rest of the game.
Right. If they show any sign of symptom, they should be removed from game already.
Is that hard for parents or for athletes?
To be removed right away for some of them, for some of the parents, definitely. Like you talked about, this is their potential scholarship that they're trying to get to. And I've had athletes, good athletes, tell me that they've hid a lot of their concussion symptoms from the athletic trainer just because they want to continue playing. So it's a change in mentality that we have to teach.
And what are the consequences for kids in school for their, you know, for their learning, for their grades? If they have repetitive concussions, can it actually slow their thinking process, slow their learning, potentially affect their grades in school?
Oh, definitely. We've had, through the years, we've come across several athletes that have had repeated concussions and had difficulties back in the classroom. We've had one of our athletes that does some talks for us. She actually had to drop out of college because of her concussions. And it took her over a year to fully recover. And then we also have some high-level athletes that are good students in the classroom, and they try to come back too quickly and try to get back to the studies too quickly, and that also causes problems.
So there could be some significant issues. I mean, when you talk about athletic scholarships, the other thing you have to be careful with is, can your brain function? Can you continue your studies once you're in school? Because if you can't, then, you know, that's going to affect your ability to move forward in the future as well.
Right.
How long does it take to recover from a concussion?
Typically, our Hawaii data is taking 3 weeks, an average of 3 weeks for our athletes to get back.
Does that mean no activity or just no head injuries? I mean, could they like go back and lift some weights or do some walking? Or
It's the research is changing now. Before 5-6 years ago, it was complete rest, physical and cognitive rest. But the research in the past 3 years are getting the athlete or the student back to some activity, whether it's riding a bike, doing some walking, some light jogging, just to get the blood circulation, getting them feeling better about moving.
Sure, and keep the muscles going. I mean,
right.
I would imagine if they have this high level of athleticism, they've built up their muscles to a certain extent, and they wouldn't want to necessarily lose that by not being active for 5 or 6 weeks. So doing something would be helpful for them.
And the other thing, too, these athletes are on teams, and if they're not with their team, some of them do get depressed. So being around their team is real important for them, and it's real helpful. So the other thing isn't getting back to school as quickly as possible, too. But when they're in the classroom, there are things that the teachers can help them with to kind of recover as well. So like giving them extra time to do homework or do a test or having somebody give them the notes.
So they don't have to take the notes themselves, kind of thing. All right. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with Ross Oshiro. He is one of the top athletic trainers in the state. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about other common ways to prevent sports injuries, what we can all do to learn from what we do for our elite athletes so that we can all stay healthy and find an exercise we love and keep doing it. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors, locations, Noheia Gallery, and Straub Clinic and Hospital.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with Ross Oshiro. He is one of the top athletic trainers in the state, probably been the man who has trained most of the current existing certified athletic trainers and has worked exclusively and extensively with the Department of Education. He's currently working on Hawaii's concussion education and training program and involved in athletic training research right here in the islands. Now, before the break, we were talking about concussions and a couple of the myths. You don't have to actually lose consciousness to have a concussion. And there could be some longer-term sequelae to that. So keeping yourself away from repetitive head injuries is of utmost importance, because if you're already susceptible because you've had a concussion, you could compound that effect if you had another injury. So for all athletes who might be injured in a game, there's more than one reason why you want to stay out if you've truly had a concussion. It could have some further consequences for you. Now, Ross, tell me, are there other sports injuries? What are some other common ones that you deal with when you're, or that you've dealt with over the years when you're looking at athletes trying to train, and how can we all learn from that?
Previous to concussions, probably the biggest two injuries to most sports were ankles and knees. And then you get into overhead throwers, it's shoulders. What we're seeing more of now, especially with baseball season starting right now, we're seeing more and more elbow injuries at a younger age. And a lot of it is due to overuse.
So we're dealing with elbow injuries. I often look at elbow injuries and say, that's what happens when people text too much, because I guess I don't see as many athletes far from it as you do, because I see a lot of kids, they're always texting and they come in and say their wrist hurts or their thumb hurts or their elbow hurts. So we could all learn from that. You said repetitive injuries. So what would be some of the sports that people would be doing repetitive activities with the elbow? I always think tennis, just because of the term tennis elbow, but I'm sure there's other things where people would be using that particular joint sequence.
Typically, it's a baseball pitcher, and a lot of them may be throwing too much too soon, learn a new pitch without good technique. And typically, bad technique leads to bad injuries.
It's a really good tip for everyone. Bad technique leads to bad injuries. So be careful with the technique.
Yeah.
And that's something that, where would you learn the technique? Is that what you would learn from coaches? Would certified athletic trainers help with the way in which you use your body doing a certain type of activity, whether it be throwing a pitch or whether it be throwing a ball of some type? Would you know how to correct people's use of their body in doing those things?
Yeah, we would probably not just look at the elbow. You'd look at the whole person and to see how the person moves, see what other flexibility issues they may have, other imbalances in the body that may be causing the elbow injury. A lot of times they have an imbalance in their shoulder, which contributes to the elbow injury. So we look at the whole athlete, and we'd want to strengthen the whole body. And for pitchers, baseball players, tennis players, it's not just the shoulder and elbow. It's also the core that's very important, that gets the movement of the ball or the racket. Even a swimmer, same thing.
So I've heard that term again and again. Strengthen your core. Where is the core, Ross? What am I strengthening?
Pretty much from your chest down to your knees, and everything in between. A lot of it comes from the hips. A lot of our athletes, that's where our power comes from, is the hips. So getting the hips strong, getting both sides. And it's not just, again, the muscles in the magazine. It's not just the quadriceps. It's the butt, the hamstrings that are key.
And abs and your back?
Yeah, the abs too. Not just the pretty six-pack. It's the abs all the way around, the transverse abdominis, the muscles around the abs that hold everything in.
And I've heard that if you don't have a strong core, you dramatically increase your risk of injury, but also, you know, later on, back troubles, all sorts of things can happen.
Yeah. So the core, if the core is not strong and you got bad technique, some place is going to take up the tension. It's usually the back. And that's why we look at a baseball pitcher. We want to see what their movement is, to see how they move. Is it their hips? Is it their abs? Is it their back? Is it their shoulder? Where is the weak link?
What do you often find when you think, if you were to summarize some of the research that you've done over the years, what do you think would be some of the most important things for upcoming athletes or for people who want to become athletes to keep in mind? Is it cross training? Is it nutrition? Is it recovery? What would be the most important techniques?
I think for our younger athletes, our athletes between 5 and 13, I think it's getting a good experience of multiple different sports, not staying with one particular sport. Don't specialize too soon. You need that hand-eye coordination. You need the foot coordination from different sports, and you get that. The more you can get at an early age, the better, and that kind of prepares you for your high school, your college career.
And as you get older, what are some of the things that you really need to focus on then?
As you get older, then the end of college, end of high school, into college, then you're really specializing. Then it's more about movement, keeping your flexibility, keeping your mobility in your hips, keeping that strength in your core and your backside.
So if you've played sports in college and you decide that you want to keep playing sports as an adult, can you do that safely? It's kind of hard, I think, sometimes for people to manage their full-time job, manage their family, manage all these other activities, and then, by the way, play their fun stuff on the side. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that people can stay athletic even beyond college?
I think that's a hard thing for a lot of our college athletes. They still have that competitive bug in them. They still want to compete. And there are a lot of different things that we can do to continue staying active. Some of that is done with golf. Some of that is done with racquetball, different sports that we have. And I think that's an important one that they can find and continue doing throughout their career.
So you mentioned that the keys are love a sport, love it enough to make time for the sport, and then learn how to do it correctly.
Pretty much, yeah. The loving the sport is key, and that'll carry you out from a kid all the way to your 80s. Having the time, that's always a difficult thing as we get older and older, especially adults when they have kids. And it makes it, when they get to that point, is teaching your kids to love the same sports that you did as well.
And then also just making sure that, you mentioned earlier, you have proper technique. I think a lot of times, why would we ever think that we were older than 25, but you know, our brain says no, you can still go run whatever, do whatever, but the body says no, you got to be more careful.
Yeah, technique is probably the one of the most important things, of learning how to do the sport correctly, learning how to do the motion correctly. Otherwise, again, you get into that bad habit and you get hurt. So finding a coach, finding an athletic trainer, somebody that can teach you the proper technique is vital.
And that technique, I would imagine, changes as you get older.
It shouldn't, but it does, because of limitations that we have.
Sure, the body gets older. You know, you might not have that same level of flexibility that you used to when you were younger.
Yeah.
All right. And if you get injured, make sure you get checked out.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we've heard it from the master, Ross Oshiro. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us today here on The Body Show.
Thank you very much.
You make me want to go find a sport that I could possibly still do. Chances are I wouldn't be very good at it, but I'll be optimistic. Ross Oshiro is one of the top athletic trainers in the state of Hawaii, and he has trained pretty much almost all the other AT-certified athletic trainers in the state. He's a big proponent of staying active throughout your life, and we appreciate his advice here today. If you'd like to hear the show again, you can click on hawaiipublicradio.org. Follow the links to The Body Show. Our engineer is David Chong. Our executive producer, Bethann Kozlovich. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Time to celebrate March as National Athletic Training Month. We will see you right here next Monday on The Body Show.